Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. What a joyous and blessed day it is today, for He is risen, and He is risen indeed. Amen?
Amen.
Before we begin this time of praise and worship, if you would, bow your heads and your hearts, and let's open up with a word of prayer as we begin to prepare our hearts, minds, and souls to worship the King, the risen Christ, the one who overcame death and defeated sin. May we lift our hearts to Him right now. Gracious God, we bless You this morning, for we rejoice, for it is You who overcame the world, You who defeated sin, and You who defeated death. We bless You for the opportunity to praise You, to worship You, to exclaim Your goodness here this morning. And Father God, may this just begin the start of just something wonderful, that You would receive the glory from this church, from our congregation, and may You find everything that is done here this morning to be pleasing and acceptable in Your sight. And, oh Lord, we just invite You into this presence. May You fill our hearts with Your love. May You open our minds with Your truth. And may You impact our feet with Your action of service. And so, Father, we commit this service into Your care. And we praise You and honor You. And we bless You. And we lift this to You in the wonderful name of the risen Savior, the risen Christ, Jesus our Lord. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord today, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad You're here today. As we bow our heads, oh Lord, it's so great to be in Your house today, Lord. So great to remember what You've done for us today. what it must have been like to see that stone rolled away, to have people say, "What? He's risen. I can't believe he's risen. We didn't believe. We should have listened. How awesome is it that he rose today?" Because there's so much power in the blood, Lord, and we thank you for what you've done. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's die. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, there's power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Let's sing that again for the Lord. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
It's so good to be in the Lord's house today as we bow our heads. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Because of the fact that you lived, the fact that you rose, Lord, how awesome do we have? We have an awesome, awesome future. We are able to not only give everything to you, but be ensured that when we do, it's all gone, and that your blood has redeemed us. And when that stone was rolled away, everything came in fulfillment, Lord. For you have risen, you have given us that opportunity to know you and live forever with you, Lord. Allow us to remember, because you lived, it gave us that opportunity to know you, Lord. In all things we give you praise. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. Heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon.
As we bow our heads, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for living, Father. We thank you for dying on that cross for us and then rising again, Lord, to give us a future. Father, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you, allow them to know you, Lord. Anybody in our families, Father, let's draw them in, Father. Bring them to us, to the Lord, to you, Lord, Father, to know you. Father, we thank you for what you have done in the lives of those that are here and those that are not here. Father, please bring them to you so they can understand that relationship and get to know you. Father, because today is a very special day. Father, one that is unbelievable, but still believable, and we thank you for what you did, Lord, as that tomb was opened and as the stone was rolled away, and we have that opportunity to live with you forever because you lived. Lord, we thank you, and we ask a special blessing over this church and all that are here and those that could not be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. He is risen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that just brings a smile to my face because I know the implications of what that means for all of us. And because he lives, you and I too can live. And not just any life, but a truly abundant life. Before we begin and continue this time of praise and worship, I just want to highlight a couple announcements. If you are visiting with us here this morning, if you would be so kind to take a visitor's card in the pew, fill that out, and then put it in the offering plate. So then that way we can, you know, stay in contact with you and give you information about different things that are happening here at Trinity, and we can more effectively minister to you as well. If you'll notice, just a couple other announcements I want to highlight. On the back of your bulletin, beginning April the 6th, which is a Wednesday, we will begin to prepare for Vacation Bible School. And if you have any ability, talent, or giftedness to make arts and crafts and things, and you would like to be part of that decoration crew, then please be here at, I believe it is at, actually there's 6 p.m., I guess is what it says. 6 p.m. on Wednesdays, beginning April the 6th. And then lastly, calling all youth, grades 6 through 12. Next Sunday, April the 3rd, we will begin a youth group. And if you have any youth that are in those age groups, please invite them to come. We will be going from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. If you have friends, if you have family members, grandchildren, anybody else that would fit into that and they would benefit from that ministry, please invite them to be a part of that newly formed, exciting new youth group that we are starting here at Trinity. The Children's Church is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry especially prepared for you. You can go with Nikki and she will take you to the classroom for the ministry.
And now a reading from the Word of God. We will be reading from the book of Matthew this morning. Chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along if you choose to in your pew Bibles on page 1549. The book of Matthew, 28, 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. This is a reading from the Word of God. If you will all now, please, the ushers will please come forward for our offering.
Causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes he causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead? It causes me to tremble, tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? Were you there when he rose up from the dead?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the blessings of this day and the many blessings of the past week. Father, we've come to your altar this morning, placed our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them in your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Whose words alone can catch a fire.
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing our Redeemer to live. We thank you for what you've done. Father, you sent your only son. What a sacrifice. I can't even imagine, Lord, but thank you for loving us so much that you would do that for us. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and allowing us to have that opportunity to live with you forever. Because you lived, we can face tomorrow, and there is an awesome, bright future for us. Lord, we ask a special blessing over this service, and all things we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sometimes I think we can get so overjoyed that sometimes we miss the real meaning. And sometimes just a bit of silence helps to bring that home, and it brings it, you know, to the pertinent aspect in our hearts and minds and souls. A French philosopher, he stated this. He said, each century can be summarized by one thing. He said the 17th century can be summarized by the age of mathematics. The 18th century can be, you know, summarized as the age of the natural sciences. The 19th century as the age of biology. And the 20th century as the age of fear. Friends, I'm not sure that has changed in this century. And in fact, I believe that, you know, we still are a society that fears much. You know, in October of 2015, Time magazine, they reported the following top 10 fears. And listen to some of these. The corruption of government officials. 58% of people fear corruption in our government officials. Cyber terrorism. 44.8% of individuals are afraid of, you know, terrorist attacks through the internet or through the web, the World Wide Web. Corporate tracking of personal information. Terrorist attacks. Government tracking of personal information. Biowarfare. Identity theft. Economic collapse. Or running out of money in the future. Or even credit card fraud. Those are the top 10. And friends, we need to understand that we are inundated each and every week, each and every day with news headlines that evoke a sense of fear. This past week, I went on the internet and I just started scanning and seeing what type of headlines are there. And listen to some of these. An appliance company lied about dangerous fiery defect. Washington Heights blaze sparked by candle that leaves 4 people injured, 2 families homeless. Muslim shopkeeper killed in Scotland after wishing Christians happy Easter. Drunk pilot detained at Detroit Airport. Yes, Detroit. American Airlines cancels flight. North Korea threatens nuclear attack on Washington. I mean, I could go on. I could go on and on and on. You see, Easter is a time of new life. Easter is a time of anticipation of a future, of life. In fact, springtime, that's what we celebrate in spring. And when we expect the weather to be warm, we look at the flowers popping up, and you might say, well, what's this deal about fear? You see, I believe that Easter, you know, we need to understand that Easter is about life, and Easter is the absolute answer to your fears and my fears. You see, fear, the opposite of fear is faith. You need to grasp that. And this morning we're going to look at a text. We're going to look at the two women that went to anoint Jesus' body in the tomb. And we're going to see exactly the fears that struck the guards and the fear that struck the women. And I'm here to tell you that this Easter, because he lives, you too can live. And because it's Easter, there is new life, and it's new life without fear, if you so choose. And that's the key. Is because if you choose to live a life without fear, then you have to do something, and you have to couple where you're fearful of in your life, and you have to generate a faith there. You have to develop that faith. And I'll just go out on a limb. It can't be on Easter only. I'm here to tell you. It's got to be 365 days a year. It has to be 12 months a year. It has to be 52 weeks a year. It cannot be Easter only or Christmas only. If you are fearful of whatever you're fearful of this morning, the antidote to that fear is faith. The scriptures tell us that perfect love casts out all fear. And perfect love only comes from Christ, only comes from Jesus, only comes from the one who is risen, only comes from the one who emptied the tomb, and only comes from the one who is alive today. And because he's alive, he fears not. And because he fears not, you nor I need to fear. And yet we are succumbing ourselves to all of these fears that inundate us each and every day, each and every week. And many times we're oblivious to it. We're oblivious to it. Fear sells. If you think about it, the headlines, the fearful aspect of life, the fears that assault you and me. And we're going to see here in a moment that God's heart is this. He doesn't want you or me to live fearful lives. He wants you and me to live life that is full and that's abundant, that's joyful, that is overflowing with his love, with his peace, with his truth. And yet fear, it saps us of all those things, and we can't even experience what God wants us to experience. And so know this, that the opposite of fear is faith. Listen to this quote. It's a quote by Dr. E. Stanley Jones. "I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is my native land, faith is. Fear is not my native land, faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is grasping for breath." I don't know about you, but I've experienced a bit of that. I'm not standing up here telling you that I've never been fearful of anything. And in fact, just recently I've gone through some different aspects in my own personal life that, quite frankly, the fear was assaulting my soul. And your soul is the very core, the very crux of who you are and who I am. And when fears assault us, it cripples us, it paralyzes us. And you need to know, and we need to know, that we are not of the native land of fear. We are sojourners passing through this world, and this world is full of fear, and it always will be. This world is full of doubt and anxiety and insecurities. And friends, because the tomb is empty, you and I can live secure lives. You and I can live lives not with fear, but with faith. And that's the promise. That's the hope. And I'm not talking about an uncertainty of hope. I'm talking about a confident expectation that no matter what you face, no matter what you encounter in your life and in my life, if you cultivate your faith, then fear will not take over your life. If you cultivate your faith in your relationship with Jesus Christ, the one who is risen, the one who emptied the tomb, then fear will not assault you. And yes, it may try, but fear will not gain traction. It will not take over your life because your faith is the antidote to the fear. I cannot express that enough. I can't. It's true. I've experienced it in my life, time and time and time and time again. And you know it. I know it. Your heart gets queasy. Your stomach gets a little bit up in knots. And there's all kinds of fears. There's fear of job loss. There's fear of the unexpected. There's fear of disease. There's fear of losing a loved one. There's fear of financial collapse. There's fear of catastrophe. There's fear of the unexpected. The list could go on and on and on and on. And it doesn't matter what fears you face or I face. The antidote is faith. And we need to know this, that on the day that Jesus rose from the dead, two women, they got up and they went and they bought spices to prepare Jesus' body as he was already buried, but to anoint him once again because he was crucified on the Sabbath and he was laid to rest. And so they went, and what they found was nothing short of incredible. I'm here to tell you, the women, they found something totally unexpected, and they found something that they did not ever guess that would have been there, and they found something that totally turned everything in their life upside down. And I don't know if you or I've experienced it. I'm guessing you probably have. There have been times in your life that the unexpected has assaulted you. And friends, this morning, the answer to those fears is your faith. This is the heart of God, and listen to this scripture that was read earlier. It's found in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4. "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulchre, and I can't talk this morning. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. There's a Greek word, it's called seismos. And it's where we get the seismograph that measures earthquakes. And if you think about this, we all have had earthquakes that have hit our personal lives. I know my life has had them. Now, we have two options in our own life. How do we handle it? And here's God's heart. He doesn't want you or me to be like the guards. And for fear of him, the guards trembled. They were fearful. Phobos in Greek, it means phobia. It's where we get the phobias. And if you've ever looked at the different phobias in our world that are documented by the psychologists today, the list goes on and on and on and on. And friends, that is what was going on with the guards. They were so fearful that they became like they were dead. They were immobilized, and that's what happens to you and to me when we allow fear to creep into our heart and to take up residence in our minds. Then we become like dead people, and we don't experience the gift of God of life, and we don't experience the empty tomb that Jesus has risen to buy you the life that he wants you to have. And we begin to just be meanders through the darkness. And friends, that's not God's heart for you. God's heart for you and for me is to live life free of fear, free of all those things that are going to cause you and me to be paralyzed, to cause you and me to not be able to experience his life for you and for me. But here's the connection. The connection is this. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know." And notice that, do not be afraid. Same Greek word, phobos. Do not be afraid. Anytime, most of the time in the scriptures, when Jesus is announced, you know how he's announced? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And so when you look all through the scriptures, you can see, do not be afraid. You know, when Mary was approached by the angel, do not fear, do not be afraid. Hey, the Messiah is coming. Anytime that God is about ready to do something in your life and mine, the announcement always is this, do not be afraid. And the reason is this, is because your faith is the antidote of fear. My faith is the antidote of fear. And we need to listen. We need to adhere to that command of not being afraid. And that's what the women were told. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. Now notice, they were seeking God. I know in my personal life there have been times where I've been seeking God in prayer, in reading the scriptures, and my heart has been assaulted with fear. Do not be afraid. You keep seeking, you keep chasing, you keep running after, and typically in our lives we get fears here and our faith is here, and we don't generate enough cultivation in our faith to overcome the fear. And so the angel says to the women, "I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen as he said." Now notice these next two words. If you got your Bible, I would tell you to circle the next two words. Come and see. You see, many times when we're seeking God, we don't go. We only go as far as we are arm's length from God because we are afraid and we fall down like Peter did and many of the others in the scriptures, and we fall down and we say, "Depart from me, for I'm a wicked and wretched, sinful person." And we do not allow the faith that God has given to us to allow us to go and to see and to do what God is asking you and me to do. God is asking you and me to come to him, to see what he's done. And the tomb is empty, friends. And many times when we don't go to God, we are bound up in the grave clothes of fear. And yes, it's grave clothes, the fear that assaults our mind, our hearts, and our souls. And it's the fear that God is saying to you and to me, to come and see. Come and see what I have done. I've emptied the tomb. I have defeated death. I have accomplished what I set out to do. It is finished. You need not to fear. But when we don't go and we don't see, we miss the connection of God. We miss the resurrected Christ. We miss what God wants to impart to your soul and mine. And then we think, well, that's nothing. That's my faith can't attach that. My faith can't accomplish that. My faith can't overcome that. And friends, no. God is saying, come. God is saying, see. God is saying, seek me. Come to me. See what I have done. It has been bought for. It's been paid for. It is finished. It has accomplished everything. And yes, I'm telling you, you will have fears. I have fears. It's what we do with them. Sometimes prayer works. Sometimes reading the scripture works. Sometimes I need a friend, a trusted friend. Sometimes I need others. But you know what? Every single time, I need to go. I need to see what God has accomplished. And when we see what God has accomplished, the empty tomb, when we see that, then all of a sudden something happens inside of your heart and mind, and it's something that emboldens us, and it's the courage that comes from eternity. It's the strength that comes from on high. It's the hope that pierces your soul and fills your mind. It's the love that is poured into your heart, mind, and soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens when you come, when you see what God has done, and the tomb has been emptied. And yet, sometimes, we choose to continue to keep ourselves wrapped in grave clothes, the grave clothes of fear. So what is God calling us to do? God's calling us to do this. Matthew 28, 9 and 10. And behold, Jesus met them and said, Hail. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Notice that phrase once again. So you have the angel saying, Do not be afraid, come see and go. And then you have Jesus, Do not be afraid, come see and go. The same message. And friends, the truth of God, the supreme truth, it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. It was the same 2,000 years ago when Matthew penned this, and it will be the same tomorrow as well. Do not be afraid, come see, go. And this is the call of God. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Do you know that if the women, if they didn't come and see, if they didn't go and see what God had done, they would have missed Jesus? You see, you had the guards who were paralyzed by their faith, and they became like dead men. You had the women who had faith, and it was the faith that propelled them to go, to see, and to not to be afraid. And it's the faith that should propel us to go, to see what God has done. And so my challenge for you and for me this morning is this. I'm blessed that you're all here on Easter. Don't stop on Easter. Don't stop. Please don't, for your sake, not for mine. I want what's best for you. I want you to be set free of the fears that assault us each and every day and each and every week. We are embarking upon a six-week study, series titled Fearless. We're going to talk about the fear of catastrophe. We're going to talk about the fear of financial collapse. We're going to talk about the fear of death. We're going to talk about all of these different fears that assail us each and every day. And over the next 6 weeks, I pray and I hope that your faith will begin to grow, that it will assault the fears that are in your heart. And so don't stop. Don't stop. It's Easter. I am truly blessed you're here. Don't stop. May this begin a time in your life where you cultivate your faith, you grow it through personal Bible study, through personal prayer, through attendance in worship. You and I, we need to be here. I don't know if you know that. We need each other. And it's when God doesn't get glorified in our life that we become isolated and we don't think that we need to go, and we get separated. And we get separated from our brothers and sisters in Christ, then the enemy has a heyday in our life. You and I need one another. We need to speak truth into one another's life. We need to speak the uplifting encouragement that will take us away from the fears that this world is placing upon us each and every day. I hope and I pray that the tomb's empty today, friends. The tomb is empty. And that means fear has been banished if you allow it, if you go and see, and if you are not afraid, if you allow your faith to be the catalyst for your life. And I hope and pray that you will experience the freedom of the empty tomb of the resurrected Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you for your mercy. We thank you that you indeed are risen today. And not just today, but you're risen each day. And Lord, because you are risen, you have bought and you have paid what we need. You've defeated death. You've defeated sin. You have purchased peace for our hearts and souls. You have granted us mercy and forgiveness when we ask. You have blessed us with strength and courage that allows us to go forth, that allows us to go and see and to do and what you have asked us to do, to go and tell. And so, Father, whenever we face the fears of the unexpected, whenever we face the fears of catastrophe or financial collapse or even death, I pray, Lord, that you would just cultivate our faith, but may we be found faithfully obedient in cultivating that faith and participating with you in our hearts, minds, and souls. May this be the beginning of a new season in our journey of faith, as it is Easter, the beginning of new life. May it be the beginning for all of us of a new life with you, a life where our faith overcomes our fear instead of being subjected to the things of the world. So, precious Jesus, may we truly come and see what you have done, and may you speak truth to our hearts and peace to our souls. And may the fears of this world be banished from our minds forever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let my song join.
as we close here this morning, when I was playing football, I had many coaches that would tell us, you need to play with reckless abandon. And there was one year where I didn't play with reckless abandon, and it was the senior year of college. And here's the reason why. I knew there had to be life after football. And I began to be fearful of what would happen if I was injured. What happens if I would get a concussion? What would happen to me? And friends, I think about that, and I think about how many Christians do not live the Christian life with reckless abandon. And I'm here to tell you that God wants you and me to live without fear. And when we live without fear, we have a courage that this world doesn't know. We have a strength that this world will never know. We have a peace that is not from here. It's from on high. We have a hope that is never extinguished. We have a love that is never ending. And that leads us to live Christian lives with reckless abandon in the context of what God is leading us to do. My hope and my prayer for you and me this morning is that you will know a life without fear. And because you are cultivating and growing your faith, your life will become a life where the fears are diminished and they're eventually dismissed. And so as we depart this morning, because he is risen, the tomb is emptied, may you receive the gift of peace. Peace from the Heavenly Father, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who lives, and because he lives, you too can live, and you can live without fear. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I live life as God wants us to live, without fear. Go in peace. Amen.